Back at his goal line, Ryan with plenty of time, throws, and it is intercepted by Joe Hayden! He's got it at the 29-yard line. He was in front of Julio Jones, and he came down with the ball inbounds.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back. Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford Dog Pound. The Cleveland Browns Foundation needs your help raising money to support important youth development initiatives. December 2nd is Giving Tuesday, a day dedicated to giving back. The Cleveland Browns are supporting Giving Tuesday and accepting monetary donations to support local youth initiatives. Visit ClevelandBrowns.com to donate and support Browns Giving Tuesday. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm, Joe Juravicius here wrapping things up on this edition of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. We'll get one quick call in here before we hand out our game balls for this game. We're going to go on the phone lines now and be joined by Anthony in Ordman. Anthony, how you doing?
Hi, guys. Great show.
Thank you,
man.
Hey, don't mean to disagree with the three-time Super Bowl champion, but I think with Hoyer, I don't think he's making bad decisions. You know, actually, two of the interceptions, if you look, I think the receivers were open. I just think they were bad throws. He just didn't get the ball over the up front guy on that guy, but the guy was wide open. So I just think Hoyer, there's no question in the locker room. I really believe that. I think they know they can win with Hoyer, and I think right now with this winning record, there really shouldn't be any controversy. Like everybody else is saying, he just keeps winning. He's just making some poor throws, but I do think he's throwing correctly to the right people. And if I could make one other point here,
sure.
And you got some players there, maybe, you know, I remember my dad always told me, you know, talent gets you so far, but sometimes the best players are the smartest players. And I know the coaches are taking a lot of heat for trying that 60-yard field goal, but I wanted to say, first of all, if you look at that play, we had three or four guys running down there like they were running a sprint against Carl Lewis, and I'm thinking to myself, why are you doing that? The only outcome that's favorable for Atlanta is if he returns this all the way. There is no other outcome if he takes it to the 35 or the 40. This isn't a kickoff return. So they actually ran themselves right out of the play, and when he faked coming out of the end zone, did anybody really believe he wasn't going to bring that out? What other thing could he have done? I mean, that's all there was to do. There was no time left on the clock. So I'm sometimes just wondering if, you know, do you know, like, I had a coach tell me one time, always know down and distance. Always know down and distance, he preached that. And that's true. You know, sometimes that's half the game if you know what's happening during the game. And sometimes I think our players take themselves out of situations when they really don't have to.
Anthony, thanks so much for the call. I'll start with Brian Hoyer, and then Matt, I know you did a lot of special teams work, so I'll turn it over to you for that one. And Joey, you can weigh in on that as well. For me with Brian Hoyer, it's a lot of the stuff we've been saying all year long. It's just starting to manifest itself, I think, in more turnovers. There were games where he could have had more. They just dropped them. So I think it just kind of stood out, three interceptions in this one, 20 of 50 last week. He has not been the most accurate quarterback this season. Now, does he find a way when it matters? Yes, and that's why this team does keep winning. But Brian Hoyer's recent play has not, I'm sure, been to his standard. He was very upset after the game, even though the Browns won, because he felt like he had let his team down. Last week, I think he felt a similar after going 20 of 50. So he knows he needs to step his play up, but the amazing thing is they do continue to find ways to win. And if he can get back to being a little more efficient or a little bit hotter, a little more accurate with the football, now that Josh Gordon's back, this offense has an opportunity to be good. Now, they knew what they were doing on that kick, on that field goal, in terms of they were sent going down to cover that. Joel Bitonio talked with him, who made the big tackle there, said that was the plan all along, was to stop Devin Hester from scoring. It just didn't go as smoothly as you might have wanted.
You're right, and I'm going to chime in really quick on Brian Hoyer and I'm not coming at this from a bad perspective. I'm just kind of keeping everything very real. If we're not going to question his decision-making and you're going to say it's all because of bad throws, then do we question his skill set? You know, as a quarterback, because I think decision-making and your skill set or how you throw the ball go hand in hand. So that is something that needs to come into question as a long-term fix at the quarterback position, whether it's Brian Hoyer or someone else. But to get back to your special teams question, Coach Tabor should have shown the possibility of what Devin Hester can do with the football. And if you are any fan of football, you too have seen time and time again the coy, savvy way that Hester catches the ball on the end line and walks as if he's just kind of going to take a knee at the, you know, 1 yard deep in the end zone and close the half. And then he just darts off into a sprint. So they were very prepared, but I do also think that in some cases, because this is a very few and far between type of play, that some of those guys, even though coached to go cover, thought sprinting down, you know, and not understanding how overestimating their speed and underestimating Devin Hester's speed, that the angle with which he takes and can outrun your angle, especially why they do that or why Devin Hester is so successful, is, but you have to understand, is when we kick a field goal, we have six offensive linemen, a long snapper, a defensive tackle, and a linebacker.
We had two for us.
Yes.
We had six offensive linemen. Batonio broke it down for me. Six offensive linemen, kicker, holder, long snapper. So that's nine.
And the two wings. Who are the wings?
Or two tight ends.
And two tight ends. Okay, and two tight ends. So guys that don't play a whole lot of special teams and guys that never play special teams are covering the most prolific returner of punts and kickoffs in NFL history.
If they did play any special team, it would be on kickoff return, especially the linemen.
In the wedge. In the wall. Right. Correct.
Well,
the wall.
Definitely watch I Caught Up with Joel Batonio out in the field house, and it'll be on Inside the Cleveland Browns Wednesday at 7, and it's a pretty good piece. Talks about the fact that where this play, that play ranks in his all-time plays in organized football. A good listen, and he was very happy when it was done and Devin Hester didn't score. All right, time to hand out our game balls. Matt Wilhelm.
I'll go first, and I'll make it very easy. There is no one else on offense to give it to but the Crow.
Caw-caw!
He answered the call when given those carries. I want to see him get 20. Defensively, Paul Kruger, 2 sacks, leads the league, 8.0 for the season. And I'm going to give one to Billy Cundiff. For, yes, he missed the 60-yarder, so we know what he's not capable of doing, but he's got his confidence back, and we will need him in these last 5 games to be very crucial and win football games for us.
I think Josh Gordon opens it up on offense. Joe Hayden not only tackles, deflects, he intercepts, and I think on special teams, Joe Batonio going down there to me was phenomenal.
I've
never seen a big guy run that
special team game ball.
Yeah, I'm going to go offense. I'm going to go Josh Gordon. Changed everything about this team. Defensively, Craig Robertson stepped in and had a great game in place of Carlos Dansby in special teams. I'll give it to Joel Batonio. I mean, that play,
that's
for him
impressive
to run that far was impressive.
He's, two game balls for Joel.
He's never been praised more by coaches and teammates after a play than he was for that one. All right, thanks to Kevin Jones for joining us on the roundtable. Thanks for all of your calls. Enjoy this Victory Monday. The Browns are 7-4. Up next, the Golden Boys here. Thanks for listening to Cleveland Browns Daily.
Driven by Liberty Ford.
See you.